Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verses 1 through 14, all of Psalm 27. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the many ways that your word empowers us, guides us, counsels us, strengthens us, and equips us to be the warriors and the kingdom children you've called us to be. Lord, help us to grow with every passing day more and more, to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to staying and living and dwelling in your word each and every day. And anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer and intercession this day. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. And let me remind you once again, I want to encourage you to take time to download our free mobile apps for iPhone and Android devices. And simply go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk, and that way you can take Urban Family with you anywhere you might go. And of course, we want to continue to encourage you. Please do take time, if you haven't already, go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. And also, please take time to read and take a look at some of the blogs, some of the encouraging and uplifting articles you'll find there as well. And let me mention to you as well, on the website, please take time to go and take our survey question. The question today is, what is your take on the recently signed Religious Liberty Executive Order? Please go to the website and respond to that question. Again, the question, what is your take on the recently signed Religious Liberty Executive Order? And finally, then, please take time to go and to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. We're privileged to have as our phone guest today, Brother Gene McGuire. Gene is the chaplain of Babe's Chicken Dinner House, which is a restaurant chain. Also, he's the author of the book, Unshackled, and he'll be sharing some about that book today. Gene, how are you today?
Oh, Joseph, I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited to be with you and your audience.
Okay, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, and I had the privilege of getting your book and didn't finish the book, but I got a good start on it, and very powerful, very just a tremendous testimony that you have. So as we start off, if you would, Gene, just tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and just dive right into sharing your story, your testimony.
Well, I live in Dallas, Texas, and I work as a pastor for a Christian family-owned business. We have about 1,400 to 1,500 employees. And I serve within that business in the restaurant, being available both to the managers and our some 900 young people who work for us as servers and greeters and hosts. And it's a real privilege for me to to be part of that ministry, because the owners see their business as a ministry to reach their employees and their vendors and also their customers. So it's exciting, and it's a real privilege to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the day with them.
Okay. And Gina, when we spoke earlier, I remarked that I think that's a very wise thing on the part of any business to establish someone that serves as basically a pastor and or chaplain to the business. And I hope a lot of businesses learn from what they're doing there at the chain you work with. And so, but if you would go ahead and share with us about the book and just your testimony as you're going to share today.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a book out called Unshackled from Ruin to Redemption. It's available on my website, GeneMaguire.org, O-R-G. And it's also available at Amazon, and both the book and the reader. But, you know, the story goes back to when I was 17 years old, when I was a sophomore in high school, and I went out drinking one night. Alcoholism was a big part of the family, and the drinking at an early age was pretty much a staple of the Maguire house. And I went out one night with an older cousin who wanted to shoot some pool, and around midnight at the bar, he decided he wanted to rob the bar, the tavern. And I knew, being drunk and all, I really didn't care. I was somewhat indifferent, but I knew I would not do that. I knew that wasn't something I would do. And so we decided to leave. We drove down the street a little bit. My cousin got out car, went back into the bar, and we stood out in the parking lot waiting for him, and he didn't come out right away, and we found out moments later that he actually murdered the bartender, the bar owner, and right afterwards, he found some money in the box. I was with him, and took some money, cash, and we ran to New York City, and fleeing the police, I was in New York City for about a day and a half, 2 days. The crime happened in Northeast Pennsylvania. And then I eventually turned myself in to the state police in Pennsylvania, and I was arrested and charged with murder. My cousin, he turned himself in a few days later, about a week later, and he basically said that it was his idea, that he did it, and he owned up to it, which I was still arrested for murder and charged with conspiracy because I was participating in a robbery. Another stepbrother was with us who drove us to the bar. He was a little bit older than I was. And so what happened was, after I was placed in a juvenile center in Luzerne County Detention Center, I was placed in there, and I was proceeded to go to court. I had an attorney who told me that if I pled guilty and testified against my cousin, that I could be released in 10 years. And so I did. I just felt... whatever I could do and whatever came my way. And what happened was, the day before my 18th birthday, when I was set to life without the possibility of parole, I still thought in my mind that I would do 10 years. But the rude awakening was when I was turned 18, I was taken to the adult correctional facility in Campbell, Pennsylvania, to start my life sentence. And I soon found that life in Pennsylvania means life without parole. You'll never get out. And some of the guys that were serving life told me, young buck, you'll never get out of here. You'll die in here like the rest of us. And so I just started my sentence and tried to do whatever I could do. I knew that I was a young person. I knew that a crime happened. I knew that it was a homicide. And I knew that I needed help. And I started reaching out to counselors and psychologists to figure out why an 18-year-old who had a future in, you know, sports. I was a good athlete in high school, and why I was, you know, ended up 18 years old serving life without the possibility of parole in a Pennsylvania prison.
Well, and so you were 17 when this incident happened then, correct?
Yes, sir.
And in your case then, part of the issue was your lawyer really didn't do his job with you. Was that a major part of your situation?
Yes, he was a young public defender, and he gave me the best counsel that he thought. I don't ever believe that he did anything intentional. It's just that he was young, and he didn't really represent me well. And later on, it was learned that it was ineffective, and some of the things he told me were not true.
Okay, then. And so you were given a life sentence at the age of 18?
At 17.
17. Okay, then. And while you were in prison then, so you did come to know the Lord then, correct?
I did. I was about 10 years into my sentence. I had, started out really, I thought I was doing really well with a education, GED, and college and programs, and tried to get involved. I worked every day, and but about 6 years into my sentence, I got real depressed, and I just started getting high. I met some guys that had access to drugs, both cocaine and meth and painkillers, and I spent about 2.5-3 years, getting high and kind of partying and just masking pain, shame, and guilt with these drugs, and lived a chameleon life. Nobody really knew what I was doing in the prison system. Kept it really quiet. But one day I was going to eat a lunch, and I saw on the bulletin board an announcement for a program that was going on in the chapel called Prison Invasion 86. It was December 1986, and so I went on a Friday night, and I remember going in the prison, and it was about 100 volunteers from the communities who came into the prison system, and they would witness to you throughout the day and then invite you to come to the services at night. And when I walked into the service of the chapel, the prison chapel, there was music and testimonies, and people had their hands raised, and it was just an excitement in there, and people kept telling me God loves me, and it was something that I had not heard before. And I heard the gospel. The pastor said Jesus died and rose again, and on the third day, and in him there's eternal life. And he kept saying that real men make commitments. Real men make commitments. And I thought, I sat there, and I never made a commitment to the Lord. Obviously, I read the Bible here and there, and people witnessed to me over the years, but I never made a commitment.
Okay. And so that, how many days did that revival last then?
It lasted 3 days. It was a Friday night, and then I went back on a Saturday night. I was really drawn to go back, and on that Saturday night, after the message, Jesus died, rose again, and then there's eternal life, and I knew what it was to serve, I knew what it was to have life, but I didn't know what it was to have eternal life. And and I thought, did Jesus really die for me? And that was the struggle and the challenge. I believe he did it, but then the question was, did he really do it for me? And I kind of convinced he was, but I had not made a commitment yet. And but I met a pastor who was volunteering. His name was Larry Titus, and he had told me that he knew Jesus when he was 4 years old, and he knew God's plan for his life to be a missionary at 5. And he gave me his card, he gave me his information, he said, if you need anything, give me a call. And so I went back to my cell. I really struggled that moment. I really struggled to sleep. I knew I needed to make a commitment, but I was somewhat afraid or scared. Could I live a Christian life in the prison system? And I went back Sunday morning, and I heard the message again. Jesus died and rose again, and the pastor was preaching, real men make commitments. And I struggled, my stomach was turning, my hands were sweating. I knew God was just doing something, and I needed to get up out of my pew and come to the front and be bold about accepting the Lord, not be ashamed of that. And so I did, and I remember just praying a sinner prayer with these guys that were volunteers, and they led me through a sinner prayer, and I asked Christ in my life, asked him to forgive me, and I asked him to, help me to live for you. And from that moment on, my life definitely was changed, and all my friends started seeing the difference in my life, in my walk, in my conversation.
Amen. Well, we're going to jump in here with a break, and we'll be right back on the other side. Our guest is Gene McGuire. He's a chaplain, and he's the author of the book Unshackled. We'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Part of growing in Christ is learning how to encourage others. In doing so, you always gain strength for your own journey. It's kind of like you can't pray for someone in earnest and remain angry at them. You may not like what they've done, but the presence of God has a way of sifting the wrath right out of you. You can't encourage someone else in your walk and remain numb to the encouraging words yourself. As you encourage others, you begin to see that all things are possible in Christ Jesus. Your obstacles become visibly obtainable. In this world of self-centeredness and all about me, be extraordinary. Don't be the norm. Each day, stop and take a me poll to determine just where you are in your walk with the Lord. Encourage your brother or sister in the Lord in that area and watch God do some amazing things in your life. Your deliverance is resting in the power of your tongue. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
I just thank God for the Holy Ghost. If you will let Him, He really will teach you all things. Have you ever made an excuse to someone why you were unable to do something or why you couldn't attend a certain event instead of just being honest and telling them you just were not interested? I think many of us have. Well, that's lying. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 says, "An honest witness tells the truth. A false witness tells lies." Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 in one translation says, "Dishonesty in business disgusts the eternal." It disgusts God, but fair dealing delights Him. False witness utters lies. Be faithful and consistent with being honest with others. Stop with the excuses and be truthful. There is freedom when our integrity and character reflects our Savior Jesus Christ. What seems little to us are big to Him. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Prepared a table for you. So glad you made it. So nice to see you. In case you didn't notice,
you are welcome here.
Yes, you are. You are welcome here. There's no resistance
in this house.
I don't have an agenda, really no expectations.
The music of Forever Jones, the song You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Arvener Session here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Gene McGuire. He's a chaplain and he's the author of the book Unshackled. Gene, if you would pick up where you left off. You were sharing how that you just came to know Christ. Like, was it that on that Saturday night of the revival?
Yes. Actually, yes. Saturday night was the night I really struggled, and I went back Sunday morning for the final day.
Okay.
And Sunday morning in the morning at the altar call, I went up, and the brothers led me through a center prayer, and I knew something deep in my heart happened, changed me, and I just remembered I had a real hunger for the Bible. And after they left, I went back to my cell and I started reading the Bible. And I just cried at knowing Jesus personally. And I knew he forgave me. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, there's no room in our heart for bitterness when we know God has forgiven us so much.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
right.
Any sin against me is far less than my sin against God. And I learned some real great lessons on forgiveness. I had to apologize for a number of days to a number of people who I had hurt or I offended.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew God forgave me, so I just went around the prison and asked people, some fellow inmates and friends, to forgive me for my behavior and my actions, which started just a real growth process. And I connected with Larry Titus, the pastor from a local church, and he started discipling me. He would come in every Monday. And he would share something, what he shared about on Sunday, he would share with me on Monday. And I remember him telling me, pray about everything and read the Bible. It doesn't matter whether you understand or not, just read the Bible, read the Bible. God will teach you, God will show you.
Mm-hmm.
And so those really heavy statements that he gave me stayed with me throughout my prison sentence. I stayed in the Word and I prayed every day.
And how long did he... you said he came once a week. How long did he do that?
Yeah, for 25 years. For 25 years before my release, Larry would come in every week, every month. He would come in every birthday, every holiday. And he would bring his family in, and he would come in and celebrate Christmas with us in the prison, and then he would go home and celebrate it with his family. So he was very, very faithful. He was a real father figure in my life, which I really needed. Because I grew up with an absentee father, and coming to know Christ, I knew him as my Savior, but I had a real hard time at first understanding the Father, and I wanted to know my Heavenly Father,
right.
And Larry gave me a really good perspective of his faithfulness over the years and his love for me, and I knew God did the same.
Praise God. Well, Gene, let me ask you this, too. So you came to know the Lord about 10 years into your sentence in prison, then, correct?
Yes.
Well, you know, I want to ask, Gene, if you would take time to, in just a moment, I want to ask if you'll invite any listeners that may be listening to make that step to ask Christ into their life. Now, I would mention this, that, you know, you were in a physical prison, and some of our listeners may very well be in prison. But on the other hand, there are lots of people that are in different kinds of prisons, not in a physical prison, but in a mental or an emotional sort of prison of sorts. And life has a way of creating all kinds of prisons for people. And so you have plenty of people who, again, that's their life. They're in some form. But Christ is the means whereby any and all of us can be set free in the truest sense of the word. So would you take time to invite and lead any that might be listening to make that step in their life?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening to me, I'm a man who was deep, dark in sin and bound up in prison, both spiritually and physically. And Jesus Christ set me free while I was incarcerated. And he set me free to live for him. And my encouragement is, if you're listening to me, I want you to do the same thing. If you're bound up in unforgiveness or bitterness or some addiction, there's so many people who are dependent on drugs and alcohol to get through a day. I want to let you know that it's Jesus Christ, it's a relationship with the Son of God that sets us free. And if you're listening to me, I just want you to pray real quick. Father in heaven, forgive me for my sins. I invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life, the Lord of my time, and the Lord of my every day, and let me live for you, Lord. Help me to live for you. Help me to read the Bible. Help me to go to church and fellowship with other believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
And if you forget, just, you know, reach out to the radio show, reach out to Joseph, reach out to a pastor, and especially spend time in God's Word. And don't be afraid to kneel down in the morning and say, God, I want to do your will. I want to know you.
Amen. Amen. Now, Gene, before we go further, again, the name of your book is Unshackled. If someone listening would like to get a copy of the book, how would they do that?
Well, it's also on Amazon. You can go to Amazon and just Google Unshackled from Ruin to Redemption by Gene McGuire. It's there. Also, if you go to my website, genemcguire.org, and click on the book, it'll take you to the a page where you can order it, and I'll any book that's ordered on my website, I'll sign it, I'll put a little note in it for you if that's what you want, and we'll mail it out to them. That would be a real privilege and a real blessing to do that.
Okay then. So again, 10 years into your sentence, you did come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, then what took place in your life after that? Was it soon after that that you were released?
Oh, no, I about 11 years into my sentence, again, walking with the Lord and being discipled and also discipling other men, just praying for people, and oftentimes new inmates come into the prison and they don't have anything. So my attitude was, if I can meet a need, they might listen to a testimony. And so we saw a lot of people get saved. We saw a lot of people get changed and start growing. And so when I had 11 years in the system, I went to the governor for a commutation of sentence, which is I'm basically asking the governor to reduce my sentence from life in prison to life on parole based on merit, based on my my remorse, my time in prison, my record, where I'm going, my job, my home plan, and the support I had on the outside. And I was denied. And I just remembered there's a scripture in Thessalonians that says giving thanks in all circumstances is the will of God. And that was the priority in my life, is do God's will, do God's will. And it's the best place to be, whether you're in prison or in a penthouse or a mansion, do God's will. And so I got denied. I was denied, and it hurt. And I went back to my cell, and I just got on my knees, and I began saying, God, thank you for being faithful and having a plan for my life. And and so I just back to ministry, back to work, back to building relationships. When I had 12 years in, I went up again for a commutation of sentence, and I was denied, and I go back to myself and just get on my knees and begin thanking God. Along the way, I just go back to work, get up in the morning, go to work, look for opportunities to serve. I knew Jesus was a servant. His attitude was a servant, and I knew I needed that same attitude. And there was no one I wouldn't serve, because Jesus would serve everybody. And so whether you were wearing a brown inmate uniform like myself, or you were wearing a blue and gray one that you wore the handcuffs and you had the American patch on your sleeve, you were a corrections officer, we would still serve, and I would still look to you as someone I can serve. And because of that, God began to move, and He moves through serving, and instead of trying to climb on other people or trying to step on other people to get to the top, Jesus said, you go low, and I'll raise you up. And so that seemed to be something I learned from the Bible, and I just started serving. When I had 17 years in the prison system, I went up again, and I had a lot of support. I had the district attorney who prosecuted the case. He was in favor of me. I had judges writing letters to the governor. I had no opposition at all. I had a lot of support, and I was denied at 17 years. And I went back to my cell, and I just got on my knees, and I began to worship God. Along the way, I had to, this whole walk, it's a progressive walk with the Lord. I knew I was saved, and I knew I was a son, but I needed to grow, and I would spend time every morning praying, Lord, not my will, but yours. I'd pray for nations. I'd pray for individuals. I would pray, God, change me. I want to be like Jesus. And it was just a daily growth process, a weekly process. And Larry would come in and visit, and he would bring other brothers in and expose me to other leaders. And I would bring men from the prison who were serving time that I discipled. I'd bring them out, and we would be 10, 12 guys in the visiting room for 2 hours with Larry and the other men. And it just growing together was so important. The fellowship was so important. At 17, and I was denied. And so I I continued to serve the Lord. I knew that God didn't owe me anything, and one of the things that I thought was, and I read in the Bible, that we owe a debt of love. And so my attitude was a servant, and my behavior was, I'm going to love everybody. And so God didn't owe me anything, and I had no room to be angry. I had no room for entitlement. There was some issues in my life that I had to deal with, anger, some temperament, and some past wounds. And I just remember one incident where I was remembering an old incident where a teacher in seventh grade assaulted me, hit me with his hand, and then lied about it, and then paddled me for that. And I just remember that being a real soft spot in my heart, a wound. And I said to the Lord one day, reading the Bible, I said, Lord, what is this? Why do I feel this bruise? Why do I have a hard time dealing with this? And he said, you forgave him, but you've never blessed him. And I remember just getting on my knees, because he said, sons of God know how to bless those who hurt them and persecute them. So I got on my knees right there in my cell, and I said, God, I bless this teacher to be a principal. I bless his bank account. I bless his kids, his wife. I pray he has a new car. And I mean, anything I wanted that I would think that I wanted, I blessed him with. And in that moment, I was set free from that, and I began sharing that testimony with other inmates, and I started hearing testimonies that they never exposed. And I was like, I'm not asking anybody to share all the trash. You'd share that stuff with the Lord, but there's certain things in our life that we went through that we tend to hide, and we don't want to deal with it. And if you'll expose it, God will use it as a testimony, and that's what was happening. We started seeing men who were serving 20, 30 years get set free, and they start living for the Lord, coming to church, reading the Bible.
That's neat. That is so neat. Again, I really appreciate you sharing that story about forgiveness. You know, that, again, not only forgiving people, but blessing them and praying for God to bless them. That's a very wise thing for any believer to do habitually. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Father, thank you, Lord, for Gene, and thank you, Lord, for just the insights and truths he's sharing of things that you taught him as a follower of Jesus Christ. And thank you for the example that you made him to be as he walked through the journey of being incarcerated for the years he was there, Lord. And thank you for the many lives that were touched as well. And, Lord, I ask that you'd anoint us all afresh with the spirit of servanthood. Help us to know, Lord, that we're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, your footsteps, as we live the life of a servant. And help us to know, Lord, that all of us are called to servanthood, and that if you were a servant when you were here in your earthly ministry, how much more should we as well walk in that same direction? Empower us, guide us, and strengthen us to live the life of a servant every day of our lives, walking in humility. And help us also to walk in forgiveness, Lord. It's so easy if we allow Satan to tempt us into being bitter or upset or disturbed towards others because of offenses and hurts. But guide us and help us to walk in the spirit of forgiveness continually. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s.
Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
The Bible says we are God's masterpiece, but Dr. Tony Evans says we're also His marketing plan. We'll find out why that plan is so simple that even a dummy can do it as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
My favorite place to go in all the world is New York. I love the action of New York, of Midtown Manhattan. Sister Evans loves Saks Fifth Avenue. That's her favorite store. In the windows, they have dummies. These are the best looking dummies you've ever seen in your life. The reason that the owners of Saks put dummies in the window is because they know that dummies like us walking up Fifth Avenue. And they want one dummy to talk to another dummy. These are blessed dummies. These dummies are sometimes blessed with fur coats, sometimes blessed with evening dresses. They are blessed with jewelry, and they're blessed with fine watches. These are some blessed dummies. The dummies are not there for the sake of the dummy. The work that the dummy was put in the window to do was to lure folk off the street into a kingdom called Saks. The moment a dummy thinks that the reason the dummy is in the window is for the dummy, that dummy just became a dummy. Everybody's now looking for blessing. Bless me, bless me. Remember the definition of a blessing. A blessing is God doing good for you so that he can do good through you. God blesses you so that he can use you to do something good for others in the name of the kingdom of God.
Learn to be a better reflection of the Lord and his kingdom. Check out Tony's 10-message series, The Spiritual Toolkit, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is Gene McGuire. He's a chaplain and the author of the book Unshackled. So, Gene, you, at this point in your story, you've been incarcerated for around 17 years. You came to know the Lord 6 years prior to that, but you've been in 17 years. And so, basically, one of your basically callings and works in prison was you just lived for the Lord. You were a witness for Christ, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I thought, I didn't have a real big picture of what God was doing, but I knew living faithfully and living consistently was one of your biggest weapons to destroy the work of the enemy, because a lot of men in prison know inconsistency, but they don't know consistency and faithfulness. And so I thought that would be a good start. But I got up every morning, read and prayed, and I said, Lord, lead me to somebody I can talk to. And that it never failed. I always had somebody that day, whether it was a corrections officer or was a fellow inmate, that I could sit down and just share my faith and my trust in the Lord. So I just did that day in and day out. It was a consistent thing. We worshiped on Sunday, and on Saturday we worshiped in the yards and the picnic tables. We worship, and we just serve the Lord together. When I had 24 years in the system on the life sentence, I was denied again, again with a lot of support. Went back to my cell and just began to worship the Lord and thank Him that He had a plan for my life, and I was living it. And it was the best place to be. I always wanted to be out of prison, but I knew that God's will is the best place to be. And if it happened to be there, that was okay, too. And, but there was some struggles, and, you know, there was some long, long nights, and there was some hard mornings. And I grew depressed at times and got frustrated, but I never stayed there because God is good. And when you spend time with Jesus, it changes you. So, again, when I had 30 years in the prison system, I filed again with the Board of Pardons through the governor, to the governor, and waited 2.5 years for a response. And the institution has supported me and recommended me, and then they notified me that the governor denied me. And so I was denied with 32 years on my life sentence. And
so at this point,
thank you. Are you good?
At this point, so you spent the vast majority of your life in prison up to that point then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. From 17 years old through I was almost 50 years old at the time.
Okay, then. So what brought about a breakthrough around that time?
So I was denied, and I remember shaking everybody's hand and thanking them, and I went back to my cell. And as I was walking back to my cell, I just felt like the Lord said, you know, get on your knees and thank me and begin worshiping. And I struggled for a few minutes to do that just because I had so many people supporting me, and I was trying to figure out who do I tell first. Well, I finally hit my knees there in prison cell and cried and put the pillow on my face, and I just felt broken, and I just felt like I'm going to die in here. And I just kind of reconciled that with God and said, okay, Lord, you don't owe me anything. I will live for you. And I began to thank Him, and when I said thank you, the three words came out: thank you for providing, protecting, and promoting me. And as I said those words, He kind of showed me these little slides of how He protected me over the years, how He provided for me, well, as long as I gave, and as long as I humbled myself, God promoted me. And I just started seeing these things within a minute or two, and I remember He says, I'm going to release you, but it's not going to be based on your effort. And so I stood up, and I full of peace in my heart, I was like, okay, I'm going to just live for the Lord. And 2 months later, I found myself back in the court. I was able to go back in the court. It was an attorney from Philadelphia wrote, sent me a letter saying, hey, there's a new law that it applies to you. You are a juvenile sentence lifer, and there's a new law, Supreme Court law. It's called Graham versus Florida, and if you want to, you can file and ask the courts to reduce your sentence. It's nothing promised. So I did. And in the process of going through this legal matter, the attorney that was assigned to me discovered that my attorney pled me into an illegal plea agreement, and also that he was not honest in telling me I could be out in 10 years. He was also ineffective, and the district attorney at the time agreed and said that I have spent 25 years over any sentence that I should have received for my participation during that robbery that led to a murder. And so it took about 21 months through courts. And in April 3rd of 2012, I found myself back in the same courtroom that I was sentenced as a 17-year-old, at the same seat and the same table, a different judge, different DA, different attorney, but my family was there. And I had about 40 people from the community and my family and friends that I went to high school, and their kids were filled the courtroom. And the judge, they stated, you know, he vacated my sentence, and he resentenced me to 34 years, 9 months, and 15 days, time served. And I just remember just crying like a baby, and everybody in the courtroom just exploded with praise and hallelujahs and praise the Lord and applause, and which began that whole process. And the sheriffs came over and unshackled me. And I talk more about it in my book, Unshackled. I talk more detail about that whole courtroom scene. To bring people in to know what God really did, because it was absolutely all of Him. It was the work of prayer. It was the work of the Holy Spirit that allowed me to even be in that situation. So I was released. They shackled me, and I went home that night with my sister.
So that day in court, you were released immediately after court was over then?
Yes, I was. The judge sentenced me to time served, released effective this date. And I mean, it didn't need the reality of it didn't sink in for a few minutes and until the sheriff came over and he took the shackles and the cuffs and the chain off my waist and said, Gene, you're free to go home. And it just kind of blew my mind. And I remember they handed me some clothes. My family bought clothes, and I put civilian clothing on. And I just remember that it was colorful. It smelled good. And it didn't have my institutional number on it, AK-4192 Inmate McGuire, stamped on the clothing. And I just spent a couple weeks with my sister in Pennsylvania, and I knew that Larry Titus had invited me to come stay with him and work in the ministry where he had moved 6 years prior to my release to Dallas, Texas, and he had an office, and he really began doing a lot of missions work. And he said, I want you to come down. You have a job, and you have a home to start. And so 3 weeks later, I had a friend of mine who put me on a plane and took me to Dallas, Texas, and I started, living down here. I was more than welcome to stay in Pennsylvania, but I just thought that my future was ahead of me and not behind me, and I just knew I needed a good family, Christian family. I needed good support and fellowship, and I thought that was the best here in Dallas.
And so you moved to Dallas, Texas, and started work in full-time ministry then, correct?
Yes, I did, yep, and put my hand to a couple different things, trying to figure out what I was really good at, what I wasn't. I always had this passion to pastor and shepherd. I'm very protective of people, and I just love doing that. And so, but I also love sharing my testimony. I love being evangelistical and leading others to the Lord, or just, you know, letting people know that there's a Savior who loves them. And so I would either on the street or in the marketplace or a restaurant or a company or a business, I would just, if I was invited, I would come and share my testimony of God's faithfulness, of His salvation and His plan. And I would just see a lot of people just change and a lot of people just set free. So that's what I was doing. But 4 years ago, I met the owners of Babe's Chicken Dinner House while I was giving a testimony in Decatur, Texas. And the owner heard my story and said he had 900 young people working for him and in his business, and loved to have me come and share. And it started a relationship. And from that relationship, they hired me as a pastor for the company. So that's what I do today.
So you're a pastor and a chaplain for that company today, then?
Yes. And I spend my day, I spend about, between 4 and 8 hours a day in the restaurants, talking to the staff, both managers and our young people. I'm just available. And they know my story. They have access to my book. And because I'm so vulnerable at sharing things, they're more apt to share with me some of the problems in it. Kind of relieves the managers of having to deal with the personal problems. We can come in and we can be a buffer for them and be a resource.
That's neat. That is so neat.
Yeah.
In just a moment, Gene, I'm going to ask if you'll pray briefly before our time comes to an end. But real briefly before you pray, did you struggle a little bit with bitterness in view of the fact that you ended up spending so much of your life behind bars? Was that ever a struggle for you to forgive?
It was, but one of the things that really touched my heart was God's forgiveness toward me. And I knew that my sin against God was far greater than any sin against me, and I just learned that early through the Word and through others, just some great men and women of God who teach the Word. And I just had that revelation that God forgave me. Who was I ever to hold on to a bitterness or a resentment or a wound? There was times I did, but it didn't last very long. God reminds you to, hey, let that go. I forgave you. You need to forgive them. And so it's possible. It's possible every day to walk in that freedom. Yes.
Amen. Would you just take this time before we end our time to pray for our listeners, whatever's on your heart, to pray for them as it relates to them walking with God on their own journey. Would you lift them up in prayer?
I will. Heavenly Father, we are so excited about what you're doing every day, God. You are revealing your will through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And for everybody who's listening and those who will take this testimony and share it with others, those who might read the book and share it with others, God, it's about bringing in people that are living in darkness, living in bondage, living in the throes of hell, God, that they would be set free. And I just pray, Father, for those that are walking with the Lord, those that are faithful, those that are strong. I pray strengthen them even greater, God. Give them greater vision, greater purpose and direction, God. Give them greater energy to serve you, Lord. And I pray, God, as we are discipled, we will disciple others.
Yes,
and I pray,
Lord,
God, that we would also release others into their calling. Confirm in them how great they are, because, God, that's what you started with.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, Lord, we pray together with my friend Joseph.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We pray together in agreement. Lord, set captives free.
Yes, Lord.
And equip the saints to do your will. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I thank you for Gene, and thank you for the powerful testimony that he shared today, and thank you for the story behind the book. And thank you, Lord, for the many lives that have been touched and that will be touched. Lord, open up many more doors for him to go through to share of your goodness, your grace, and your mercy in his life, and that same mercy that can touch the lives of others if they would but open their hearts, their minds, and they receive Christ into their lives and allow him to work in their life and their circumstances as well. Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word and our understanding of the need for us to be students of your word, and help us to grow in our understanding of the need to live a life walking with you in prayer. We thank you and praise you. And thank you again for Gene, Lord, and the people he works with. Bless him as he moves forward in ministry. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Gene, share one more time the website if people want to get that book.
My website is GeneMaguire.org, O-R-G. You can go there and click on book, and there's an order form. Or you can go to Amazon, or you can go to Barnes & Noble and ask for it. It should be available in many of the bookstores.
All right. Gene, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, brother. Love you.
You be blessed, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the future. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.